Anybody figure out why Jalen Hurts was at the Syracuse-Virginia game last night in Syracuse, New York, the day after the Eagles won to go to the Super Bowl? Why was he there?
Well,
taking
you see
in the basketball
you
game?
You see the Empire State Building? Welcome back, Philadelphia. Come to our city. You are welcome. We applaud you.
And him going to New York City would make more sense, but why go all the way to upstate New York to go to the Syracuse-Virginia basketball game, which I don't think he has a connection to either program. I mean, neither program is Alabama or Oklahoma. It was just curious that he was sitting like right next to the Syracuse bench.
I was going to say maybe he's a friend of the Virginia program or a top 10 basketball program or the Pac Line defense. Yeah. Maybe he's a Pac Line defense fan.
It was just very odd for him to be there last night.
Random.
They had the day off, but just to hop in a private plane and fly to Syracuse to watch a very NIT-ish basketball team.
But, okay, so he was sitting on the Syracuse side.
Yeah, he was right next to the Syracuse bench.
But.
Did you watch the game last night?
I did not watch the game last night. But doesn't that mean Virginia? I mean, he could still be maybe. I've heard some good stuff about Virginia. I've always wanted to go to.
Wouldn't he be a guest? If he was sitting next to the Syracuse bench, wouldn't he be a guest of
Boeheim?
Orange?
Oh.
I don't know. Does he have a connection with Boeheim? I wouldn't want to have a connection with Boeheim. What a condescending jerk. Yes. What an absolute jerk. Can you imagine if we had to cover Syracuse and had to deal with him?
No.
We'd crush him. I hope people in Syracuse crush him. He is so condescending. You know what? He's gotten worse over the years. That program is stale.
Yeah.
His response last night in a very valid question from a reporter, man, I'd have a hard time.
The Boeheim overall presence is always going to be the, well, I'm smarter than you. Why are you asking me that question? You've seen what I've done in this sport. It's not the whole what I've done lately. You've seen what I've done in the sport, so it's the whole how dare. If you ask a question that is anything but praising what he's done or trying to get a little bit more validation of what he's done, yeah, he's a complete a-hole about it.
Yeah, they're 13-10. They're 6-6 in the ACC.
If it was anyone else, they'd run him out.
And let's admit, the ACC is not what the ACC has been in years past.
Yeah, they're destined for the NIT. And those days of Carmelo Anthony are long, long time ago. Why would anybody go to Syracuse to play for him? You know what it feels like? And you look like the last couple of press conferences. And the question that was asked last night, there was a player who is pretty good for them, was not even at the game. And that was the first question that a reporter asked, which I think is a big deal. If one of your better players is not even at the game, you go, hey, where's he at? And Boeheim jumped on this reporter. I wonder if Syracuse is afraid of Jim Boeheim.
I think they are.
Yes.
I think they are.
He's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He has put banners in that building. He has been there for nearly 50 years. But Syracuse basketball is stale.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I mean, it's completely stale, and it's because of him they can't move forward. And I know those people are very passionate. I mean, some of the greatest moments of college basketball in the last 30 years have involved Syracuse, some of the greatest players. But of late, I mean, Boeheim, when he was here for the NCAA tournament, when we had Duke and we had Syracuse, we had KU and Clemson.
Yep.
I mean, I remember when you could go to the open practices. I mean, Boeheim just came across as a, you know what, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm done with him. But what it feels like is watching his last couple of press conferences, it feels like it's the end of the road. Like, you get a little, you're on edge all the time. Mike Bray has kind of been that way at Notre Dame earlier in the year, even though Mike Bray is not a condescending guy. He's a really good guy in the business, but he kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, you're getting towards the end of the road and things aren't going well. That's kind of what it feels like for Boeheim. But I don't know. Just kind of like, you know, Patrick Ewing, Georgetown will handle that the right way, and they will have a parting of ways where both sides look good for a legend. Does anybody think that the parting of ways eventually, either Jim Boeheim retiring or being nudged into retirement, will end well?
No, absolutely not.
I think Syracuse is afraid of Boeheim.
He'll hold on even longer, and he's held on too long.
Think about all those stories we've heard about. You could go to the Bobby Knight example of when they tried to, hey, come on, man, let's make it easy on both of us. Let's just, you just step away. We, you know, kind of make it a little bit more of your decision. We have the big, you know, Bobby Knight, you know, farewell tour for that fun. Hell no. Joe Paterno, same thing. I think in 07, they tried to, or 02 might have been. 02 or 07, they tried to get rid of him.
I think 02, 04, they tried.
And he's basically like, hey, if you guys want to go, I'm not retiring, but if you want to go and fire me, good luck.
Bobby Bowden.
See how that's going to go over. Yeah. I guarantee you Boeheim is the same way of like, I'm going out on my terms. And when I say I'm ready to go, that's when I'm going. If you guys want to fire me, good luck, because it's not going to go over well with our fan base. Well, I don't know enough about the Syracuse basketball fan base now.
I bet they're ready.
It's gotten younger, yes. And I would think that people are like, what's the big whoop about this? Why can't we move on? So, in Jim Boeheim's head, oh, that would be the worst move you could make, and you will not have any support for this basketball program because I am a god here.
And they always believe they're one class away from turning it around and getting them right back. Mm-hmm. But then you see 13-10. It just continues to fall. Then they go on a little run in the Big East tournament and said, all right, ACC tournament, see what I mean? ACC tournament, and suddenly you're an 11 seed and you make a run. Oh, see, you have it back.
It's the quick turnaround against that style of play, against that zone. You know, you get them on a round of 32 game, you only have one day to prepare for it. They're like, oh, no.
He still has it. Yeah.
I mean, he's got over 1,100 wins. I mean, he's time with the Olympics.
He's accomplished
all
a lot.
All of that stuff stands alone.
76, I believe, was his first year.
But what if Boeheim says, hey, I get it. We're kind of stagnant right now. Just let me get through my 50th year, and then I'll step down. That's still 3 years away.
Oh,
you know how further into irrelevance you could fall in a matter of 3 years?
You could just become flat-out bad.
This is the story to me that will always sum up Jim Boeheim. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, and Jimmy as well, but for maybe even some of the listeners. And this is not like a rumor. I mean, I've heard this on multiple occasions that this was the case, and that was the Maui trip where his wife at the time was on the plane out to Maui, and his mistress, who is now his wife, was also on the plane. And somehow they had to sit next to each other, and they were talking just small talk, like, oh, yeah, what are you doing here? Oh, yeah, my husband coaches one of the teams in the Maui Classic. Oh, yeah, my boyfriend does too. Oh, yeah, oh, cool, which team? Syracuse.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. I've not heard this story.
Really? Okay, yeah. Heard this from two separate people that I trust in my life. And it's supposedly like a well-known story in the Syracuse circles. And it's something that I don't even know if you brought up to Jim Boeheim, he'd be like, that's absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, it's marriage was ending. And
that is ballsy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's worse than when he peed his pants at Duke.
Or he killed somebody with his car.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody talks about that, by the way. Nobody talks about that. But
that's ballsy on a plane because...
And think about that. If you're Jim Boeheim, you could probably make arrangements to have both avoid each other. I don't think he cared.
I mean, that is really... Yeah. That's got some stones. I mean, I thought a former Nebraska basketball assistant having his side piece sitting behind the bench when his wife was in the crowd as well was ballsy. On a plane? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. To Hawaii at that.
Yep. Yep. What can you do? But again, it's like, come on. You guys know who I am.
Man, now I don't want to even compare. I mean, I'm not comparing them as people at all. I'm just talking about the story of coaches that held on too long. You know, by the time Tom Landry got to 1988 with the Cowboys, he was 3-13. They had to have changes, but nobody wanted to be the one to make the change until a new owner came.
Yeah, that's why.
And you hate seeing it because
Landry,
these are your people. Not Jim Boeheim, but people that you like watching, you root for to succeed in a way. And you're kind of cringing because you're like, oh,
well, Jim Boeheim's in like Landry and any of the ones that we've talked about, I mean, even Bobby Knight and Joe Paterno, their contributions to the sport were major, okay? Despite what controversies they might have had on the side, their contribution to what they accomplished as a coach from a win-loss standpoint, I mean, some of them with graduation rates, and you could put Paterno and Bobby Knight into that category too. There's a lot of things that you can hold up on a pedestal and say, wow, that was amazing, and that's got its place in this sport. But when it's time for them, whether it's as obvious as it can be, or there's something that, hey, I don't know if we can go forward because you're either linked to this or something that happened. It's amazing to me the power And maybe it's not even a maze anymore because we've seen enough examples of it. The power that these coaches have where even the highest of higher-ups completely handle that thing with kid gloves. Yeah. They're just like, oh,
that's why
we've got to figure this out.
Sit back. I think it'll be handled well, but whatever happens when they get to the end of the road this year with Patrick Ewing and his college career coming to an end, because here is one of the greatest players in the history of the program who just has not been able to get it done. He can't fix the issues that Georgetown has. Mm-hmm. Georgetown should be so much better. They've got all this money for basketball, and they're going to have to part ways with a legend who is under the Big John tree.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already a lot of discussion that Ed Cooley is in play for the Georgetown job, which makes it a little bit awkward. Yep. I don't know if Georgetown and Providence, they may play at least one more time. It's how you handle that stuff. And grab your popcorn, because I don't think any parting at Syracuse will be friendly.
No.
I just... Last night,
about Boeheim lends itself to believe it'll be friendly.
Yeah, and there's a program that, I mean, that's a university that needs basketball mm-hmm. to be like it has, like it, you know, more consistent. Not just a periodic run to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, in the Elite Eight, and you go, how'd they ever get here? They should be one of the elite programs in basketball.
What we were used to. Well, every year, Syracuse was great.
They got a coach that's been there for 47 years, and he's become a jerk, mm-hmm. an absolute jerk. I'd hate covering that program. I'd crush him.
Imagine his coach's show.
For just being, why don't you just be a nice human being when people ask really questions? Now, us as reporters, we can be jerks, and we can make your life difficult, and you can call us on it mm-hmm. if we're being in the wrong. But if I'm a reporter like last night, and I ask a valid question, and your response to me basically is, why would you ask that question? And creating hostility? And I got no time for you.
Remember when he torched the student media a couple years ago.
It's a bad look for Syracuse. All right, on that note, let me give you the stat of the day, because there were a good college basketball slate. There's a great college basketball slate tonight, including KU and K-State, which get to play on ESPN+.
I thought of you when I saw that release that I got.
Hey, John Ciambi has called it E+. I like that. Like, we need to start calling it E+.
E+.
That makes it sound better than ESPN+.
Yeah, it's become more mainstream
call
now.
Call it E+.
It's E+ now.
Ian Millis are doing his game on the plus.
But there's been some pretty good, I mean, the best basketball conference in America. The Big 12 has put some good games.
Yeah, KU, Iowa State, now KU, K-State.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But and this will be, we talked about this when the KU, Iowa State game was on E+. Is this will change, because when they lose their Big Ten inventory, you will have more room for the Big 12 games on the regular network. But last night, you had simultaneously two Big 12 games going on. You had Texas beat Baylor, which, I mean, Texas, they lose their head coach.
They've been all right.
Texas might make a case with K-State for the best team in the Big 12 right now at the mm-hmm. end of January.
Yep.
So Texas wins. But then in Lubbock... Remember when we were all excited because Texas Tech and Creighton were going to play each other, and that was going to look good if you could get a win there?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom has completely fallen out of Texas Tech. They've had injuries, and they're just not very good. Last night they were down 23. I was watching that game because I like watching Iowa State. And it's 39-22 at halftime. Like, Iowa State's good. You know, they had an ice storm in Lubbock, so there was hardly anybody in the arena. I was watching. You guys, you may know him, Jimmy. Jeff Haxton, who is the play-by-play guy for Texas Tech. So he used to be in the Summit League. He was wearing an obnoxious, like, Texas Tech Hawaiian shirt.
Oh.
And they would show Mark Adams, the head coach of Texas Texans, when Jeff was right behind him. I'm like, well, I'm texting Hacks. You can't wear that when you're going to be on TV. But that's beside the point. So Texas Tech last night, they come back and win. They beat Iowa State in overtime. That's a bad, bad loss for Iowa State, because Texas Tech hadn't won a game in the Big 12.
It was... never mind. I don't want to.
Weird things happen in Lubbock.
The number you might say here, so I'm not going to.
I mean, the pressure defense by Texas Tech, all of a sudden Iowa State looked like they couldn't dribble the basketball.
Right.
But the stat of the day is 23. That is the lead that Iowa State blew last night at Texas
that's
Tech.
That's where you were going.
With 12:30 to go.
Oh.
12:30. Yeah. It wasn't like, at one point in the first half they were up by 20. No, 12:30 to go. They were up by 23.
Game's over. People are like, all right, I'll change it. I'll do something else.
23 is the stat of the day. And now Iowa State, which got blown out in Columbia on Saturday, mm-hmm. loses in Lubbock, and they got KU at Hilton on Saturday. So 23. When we ask for it next hour, you have a chance to win $100 as part of my booty on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.